Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. David James here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll have Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com coming up at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to his thoughts on the Titans and NFL free agency. Right now, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Some big moves made yesterday in the NFL via trade. We're going to get into those here in just a few minutes. Joe, I do want to point out Terry McCormick of TitanInsider.com just pointing out that apparently no tender coming on Cody Hollister either. So we've talked about his report of no tender for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Now Cody Hollister apparently not getting a tender as well.
Let's start calling Terry no tender Terry.
Pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, no tender Terry.
No tender Terry.
Yeah,
back at it.
I hadn't even really thought about the possibility of tendering Cody Hollister. Not that I want to join, because Cody Hollister probably belongs in the Cole Smith, Jeff Swaim,
Irrational Hatred Club?
Exactly. Thank you. The IHC. That's a great name for it, the Irrational Hatred Club. But, yeah, good blocker.
He's a good blocker. Blocks his butt off out there. Good stuff for Cody Hollister. I'm interested to see where he ends up, if he ends up anywhere. We'll see what happens on that front. Joe, some big moves made yesterday, starting with Darren Waller going from the Raiders to the New York Giants. So the Raiders go out, they sign Jimmy Garoppolo, they bring him in, you move on from Derek Carr. And part of what we talked about yesterday was, man, if you're like, well, if you're Jimmy G, got to feel pretty good, right? Like, you got Darren Waller to throw the ball to, and Devontae Adams and Hunter Renfro and all these guys. And then immediately after that, the Raiders trade Darren Waller to the New York Giants. Now, the Giants send a third-round pick back to the Raiders that they got in the Kadarius Toney trade to Kansas City earlier this year. So, basically, they have turned Kadarius Toney into or the Giants have turned Kadarius Toney into Darren Waller there. So, I think a good move by the Giants at that point. But what do you make of the Raiders and the decision to move on from Darren Waller, sending him to the New York Giants?
Yeah. Welcome, Jimmy. And now here your pass catchers are all leaving. I'm sure he's still, you know, if he has Devontae Adams, then, you know, he'll probably be okay. But, yeah, that's a big one. And that's, I mean, that's, you know, the Jets and Giants continue to be, as we know, very interesting. I mean, I love that for the Giants. I mean, you think about, I got to say, man, they're going to be interesting. I have my doubts about the Daniel Jones contract and him as a long-term answer, but that's going to be really interesting. And then on the other side, you got all the old Packers with Jordy Nelson coming to the Jets. I mean, like
– Donald Driver.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Greg Jennings. Potentially, I mean, OBJ. The wish list from Aaron Rodgers is like, is he wishing everybody was 10 years older too, or 10 years younger too?
Well, it's kind of hilarious to me. Like, you've got all these guys on the Jets that are really young, like, you know, the Breece Halls and obviously Garrett Wilsons and Elijah Moore, all these guys that, you know, feel like they could be the start of a pretty good young core there. And he's like, you know what? Let's go get all these people with the Packers that haven't really worked over the course of the past 2 years and just bring them all back in up there. That'll go well. Good stuff.
I mean, where are we on your guy here? It's today now, right?
He's on McAfee today. So he is on McAfee today. I believe, I want to say it's noon our time. I would hope to God that he is not going on Pat McAfee today and saying, you know what? A decision's coming soon. Hadn't got there yet. Really don't want to string these teams along. So it won't be long before I make a decision. I swear, if he gets on McAfee and there's nothing that's come out at that point, I will be furious.
I mean, it really is amazing. And just imagine if somehow this doesn't happen.
Oh, man.
What? And the Jets are just loaded up with
all these guys.
It'd be amazing. Old Packers.
Yeah. So here's Randall Cobb, who the Jets would not have any interest whatsoever in signing were it not for Aaron Rodgers. Now, they signed. They got Lazard done. So one part of it's done. Lazard is going to the Jets. So one part of that's done. But when Diana Russini yesterday came out with this list that apparently Aaron Rodgers has provided the Jets, which includes Alan Lazard, Mercedes Lewis, Randall Cobb, and Odell Beckham Jr., I was like, geez, man. Like, what's is he – like, if the Jets don't get all those guys signed, is he just going to, like, pull out of it? Like, yeah, nah, man. Nope, not going. You guys couldn't get a deal done with Mercedes Lewis, so I'm out.
It's like LeBron going somewhere and be like, I got to have Udonis Haslam, man. Yeah. That guy just sets picks like, it's – I mean – dude, you have Garrett Wilson. That's, you want more of that. Does he think that it's you have to be around him for years to understand all those little hand signals that he changes every 5 minutes?
Yes, I think that's exactly what he thinks.
My gosh. I mean, I don't know, man. I'm starting to wonder about, I mean, look, I know that ayahuasca has its benefits, but does it also have some detriment?
I
would say it's possible.
I am reaching the point in the Aaron Rodgers discussion where I am rapidly talking myself into addition by subtraction with the Green Bay Packers. That's how bad I am right now. Of like, just get the guy out, get the craziness out, and we'll see if you end up better for it.
Yeah. And if you do end up better for it, then it really is like terribly unfair. When you think about a franchise that's had 30 years in a row of a Hall of Fame quarterbacking the team.
Yes, it is.
You deserve some awful quarterbacking. I'm sorry.
Well, that's not very nice, but we'll see what happens with Jordan Love.
I'm just saying.
See what happens.
Just to be fair.
Now, he could get on McAfee today and be like, you know what? I can't leave Green Bay. I'm coming back. Going running it back with the Packers, baby. Congratulations to Alan Lazard and your new contract with the New York Jets. Hope you have a good time.
Yeah, maybe it's all just a big ploy to just get his guys signed and, you know, and then screw over the Jets.
Which, you know what? I could get behind. I think that would be pretty funny. We'll see what happens.
You'd be so excited.
Oh, I would.
All the Packer Nation would just, the cheese heads would go on the heads, man.
The prodigal son returns home with Aaron Rodgers coming out of the darkness. Another move made yesterday in the NFL, Joe, Stephon Gilmore traded from the Indianapolis Colts to the Dallas Cowboys. So Gilmore at age 32 going from Indianapolis to the Dallas Cowboys in what I would describe as a very Dallas Cowboys type move. What'd you make of that move yesterday by Dallas?
I'm glad you brought this one up. Some of the reaction to this is like way over, like, oh my God, lockdown superstar in Dallas. Like, yeah. But it's funny because, you know, Stephon Gilmore, this brings me back to last year. People who cover the Colts, including several friends of the show, will tell you that he was good last year. Now, he wasn't perfect, and at times he looked his age, and he's lost a step. But he was good. He made a lot of plays. He's still an effective player. Our coworker, Jared, would tell you from his hashtag Jared's film room that he's like the worst cornerback in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, that he's like me out there trying to run around, which of course is complete over exaggeration.
I think he refers to him as an old pawpaw.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that yesterday. I was like, okay, that's a little extreme. He's a good player, but the reaction the other way now of like, this is some, all the Cowboys watch out is pretty amusing. I mean, it's fine. It's one of those, again, this is a type of move that, you want your team to do less moves like that and more moves like cheap and young in this league, you know? So, hey, hopefully it works out for the Cowboys, but I'm not sure that that's going to have some huge impact for them next year.
Well, Gilmore's going to be – he's going to be 33 coming up in September. So, I mean, you're talking about a 33-year-old corner at that point. I'm not saying he can't still make plays because I'm with you. Like, I think – how bad he was kind of over-exaggerated a little bit last year, and his team was terrible too. But, like, he's 33. He'll be 33 right. Coming up.
Well, he made some game-winning plays last year, too.
He did.
He made some very big plays for that team. So, yeah, it's almost like another, you know, former Patriot and former Titan, you know, like Logan Ryan transitioned to safety. It's like on the field, he makes plays. I mean, he will be a plus player for you, but there's also times when the foot speed has diminished so clearly at times, and he gets taken advantage of. And I think that's kind of where Gilmore is.
Coming up next, we'll continue the conversation on NFL free agency and the Tennessee Titans. We'll look around the AFC South. How do we feel about this division now that free agency is underway? We'll get into that coming up next as well. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Preds fans, hang out tomorrow night before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge and Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025-1063 The Game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. That's coming up tomorrow as the Preds host the Chicago Blackhawks. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Tomorrow is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty, and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you want a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, free agency has begun. It's been an interesting time in the AFC South. Titans have been active the last couple of days. Not much from the Jags so far. They made their free agency run a year ago where they went nuts in free agency. Not much from Jacksonville so far. Indy yesterday trading Stephon Gilmore away to the Dallas Cowboys. And we know, or at least think we know, that Indianapolis and Houston will both be selecting a quarterback in the draft. And we've seen Carolina move up to the number one overall pick. So how is the quarterback domino going to shake out with Carolina moving up to number one overall? That remains to be seen. And how will that affect Houston and Indianapolis as they pursue quarterbacks coming up in the draft? What do you make of where the division currently sits, the activity from the Titans, and so far to this point, really some inactivity from the Jags for the most part?
Hey, the champs don't need to do anything, man.
Just leave it alone.
The champs are good. Remember, one big piece of activity from the Jags is sitting there and watching Calvin Ridley be, you know, reinstated in the league. So, I mean, they are better. I mean, Calvin Ridley, and we talked earlier in the show about the Preds, chip on the shoulder. Vols need to play like that this week here in Orlando, chip on the shoulder. Calvin Ridley with a chip on the shoulder, year off. If he had a great year in that time, it could be a really big deal for the Jags. So, you know, I
bet he can make some money off of it. I'll stop.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Davis Mills isn't going to be around anymore. I got to find somebody where I'm making some jokes about.
That's right. So that's going to be, yeah. I mean, you still have Kyler Murray's video games. You have Davis Mills' neck. Wait, well, Davis Mills is going to be in the league.
He's not going to be playing. You're not going to see him play.
You can still make Davis Mills neck jokes. Nah. But, yeah, I think it's true. Calvin Ridley parlay jokes could also work, I suppose.
In all seriousness, though, I'm really interested to see. I know he's had a year off, but Calvin Ridley, last time we saw him, was pretty darn good. I'm interested to see how that affects Trevor Lawrence and Jacksonville and what they are with Kirk. And we can talk about Kirk's contract. I think he's overpaid, but he definitely helped Jacksonville last year. And you've got Evan Engram out there and at the tight end spot. And with Calvin Ridley, that is not good news for the rest of the AFC South that Calvin Ridley is now with Jacksonville.
Right. So here's a question on the Jags. As you know, Arden Key, I mean, basically situational guy, certainly did some good things. Didn't have big numbers, like you said. I mean, his numbers beyond the sacks, you know, which I know some people we know well, like to dismiss this, yep. But Arden Key, I'm trying to find this stat now because I had it up and I lost it. You know, his underlying numbers are pretty good last year. What I'm wondering with Jacksonville is there oh my God, we lost Arden Key to the Titans in Jacksonville. I mean, he had a 14.4%. Pressure rate. Yep. That was 20th in the league last year. Pretty good. And in 21 in with the Niners, he was at 15%. So are the Jags worried that Arden Key is a Titan now?
Well, here's another stat for you. Mike Herndon threw this out there last night. Says Arden Key ranked 15th out of 49 qualifying edge rushers in pass rush win rate last year per PFF charting. That's better than Danico Autry and in the same neighborhood as Montez Sweat and Max Crosby, still just 26 years old and clearly ascending the last 2 years. Friend of the show, Mike Herndon, putting that out there yesterday.
You know, the funny thing is, like, I cite next-gen stats like gospel, and whenever I hear PFF, I immediately think it's crap. But you know, like, those two numbers, the pressure rate, which is 20th, and what you just cited there with Herndon, I mean, they match up, right? Yeah. I mean, they kind of go together. And that's the thing. If you have different sources that sort of kind of tell you the same story, it's intriguing. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think, like, the Jags are like, oh, no, the championship has flipped from, you know, from Jacksonville back to Nashville because of Arden Key. But I like the ad, and, you know, I don't remember Colts fans being all that worried when Danico Autry left Indy for the Titans.
No.
But how big? I'm not saying this is that, but I'm just saying sometimes guys like that can be a bigger deal than you think.
Well, I think so too. And look, I think, I mean, to me, there's zero signs of a rebuild. Like we talked about this last week, right? I mean, you're getting rid of people, and all we saw was cuts last week because free agency hasn't started yet. And then they made one move the first day of free agency to bring in Andre Dillard. And people were asking, like, are the Titans rebuilding? I mean, with the moves that they've made yesterday, I mean, to me, the answer is pretty clearly no. That's just my thoughts on it.
I agree. I think, and I don't know what, you know, I don't know what it's going to amount to. I don't know how good Brunskill is going to be or if Key is going to be like a young Dupree impact who's available all the time. Or if Dillard is a starting quality left tackle, but obviously that's the idea behind these moves. You know, Al Shaair, is he going to be as good as David Long Jr.? I mean, if they work out, you're seeing a team that, I think the defense can be salty. It could have been anyway, but I mean, I think you're seeing it bolstered with some depth here. And more pass rush, and that's the name of the game in this league. To me, it's like the number one thing, as we all know, is quarterback, of course. But the number two thing to me is affecting the quarterback.
Yep.
Winning in this league. And I'm with you 100%. These moves to me say Ryan Tannehill's back, Derrick Henry's back. And look, they'll pull the rug out and save that clip, and I'll be wrong, but I don't think so. I think they're trying to go, and if basically darn near close to it, or all of the choices are good, then they'd be an interesting team. I mean, the big question now becomes, these are all questions that I just laid out, but the big question now becomes, you know, can you make yourself dangerous downfield in tandem with trying to fix this offensive line and bolster the defense?
Right. I mean, it's a wide receiver right now. I mean, really. Look, I think Racy McMath is going to be back. In all seriousness, we joke about him, but I think he's going to be back. But I don't know that.
That's right.
The only two that I feel 100% certain are coming back at wide receiver are Treylon Burks and Kyle Phillips. Like, that's who I feel good about coming back right now, and then we'll see what happens from there. But are you taking two guys in the draft? Is there a free agent wide receiver out there that the Titans could get on the cheap that is – a veteran guy that could come in and bring some of that to your room? We've seen Lazard go. Jacoby Myers got signed yesterday by the Raiders. So they lose Waller. They bring in Myers to go along with Adams there. Like, we're starting to see some receivers go. Do the Titans have their eye on any of these receivers that are still out there at free agency that are not going to break the bank, that can be somewhat productive for you, but also bring a veteran presence to the room? Or are they just going to be real young at wide receiver? I'm interested to see how that goes.
Yeah, well, you said it earlier, and I think you're totally right. Like, I don't see how they go total young in the room, you know, whether it's kind of waited out on NWI and, you know, bring him back or, yeah, sign one of these guys. I think there's got to be some element of that, right? Someone on the text line said basically what's different between, like, Thielen and Robert Woods. And I would agree. Like, I mean, look, like Robert Woods last year when they got him, I thought way more of what he would bring than what I would think now of like Adam Thielen or really any of these guys, which just goes to show you. You know, it just didn't work out with Robert Woods. Maybe next year, another year removed from the ACL with the Texans, maybe he'll look more like Robert Woods in Buffalo and LA. But, you know, he's also the clock's ticking on these guys, you know? So, but that doesn't mean to me like a Thielen couldn't be a solid addition. Someone like that, one of these veterans, just to have that presence of the room. Again, I would be for if you can bring back NWI and you're not going to spend a lot of money doing it, and you know he doesn't have another opportunity out there. To me, that's your he counts as the veteran presence. He's a standard setter in that room, and you know if you do things well around that, he doesn't have to play a lot, but he can still be a positive factor on the team.
Got a texter on the text line that says the Titans in 2023 ranning it back. Not running it back, ranning it back in honor of Rand Carthon. I like it.
Very nice. Very nice. I've been trying to think of some flock of seagulls puns, but that one's pretty good.
It's pretty good too. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the NCAA tournament. Joe Rexroad live down in Orlando, Florida, in anticipation of Tennessee opening things up tomorrow. We'll get into that as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. David James here with you on this Wednesday morning. David, getting in the one shining moment.
You have to. You have to. It's March.
Just a beautiful song that we enjoy so much here on this program.
David, I guess, you know what? That's fantastic, David. You know, Robbie complains and hates that song, and you probably didn't know that, but
I do. I didn't know.
I applaud you. Oh, good. Well, good. Well, let's troll Robbie together.
Exactly. That's what we're here for.
By the way, LD from McMinnville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Joe, I'm not sure Robbie's old enough to get the flock of seagulls reference. Side note, they had sweet hair. I knew I was picking up what he's putting down there, LD. I know what's going on.
Yeah, Robbie, now, you know, David, I would expect you to get the Iran, you know, reference, flock of seagulls also.
Oh, yeah, a little
Okay,
bit.
you know. Okay, well, Robbie's an old soul. Robbie gets my references from someone born in the 70s. Now, Michelle, you know, we would have had to,
No idea.
you know, but yeah.
Yeah, she over her head.
Yes, but Robbie's an old soul, and he gets my references, so I appreciate that.
So Joe Rexroad is live in Orlando, Florida, sunny, warm Orlando, Florida, in anticipation of the first round of the NCAA tournament coming up tomorrow. Tennessee in the late game tomorrow night, taking on Louisiana, 8:40 local time start here, 9:40 down there in Florida, which Joe Rexroad very much is looking forward to. Joe, as we sit here today, one day away from the beginning of the NCAA tournament from the Vols, what are you most interested to see in terms of the Vols, their approach to the game tomorrow, and dealing with a team right now that from, I think, the fan base standpoint, from a lot of the national media standpoint, not very many people picking the Vols to do all that much coming up in the tournament. I've taken a look and I've kind of just gone through a lot of people's bracket. I can count on one hand the amount of people that I've seen that have Tennessee moving past Duke in the round of 32. So not very high expectations for Tennessee as they begin play coming up tomorrow.
No, we do have, I think it's Justin Williams for the Athletic staff picks. Justin, I think it was Justin who covers Cincinnati for us. He picked Cincinnati. He picked Tennessee in the Final Four. So there's one.
Yep.
And I think of all of our staff picks, it was the only Final Four pick. But I'm with you. I don't even, there aren't many Sweet 16 picks for Tennessee. I mean, Duke is definitely, and I get it. Duke is a very vogue pick right now. It's Duke, but also they're playing great. They've got, you know, I mean, they've got pros, as they often do. I mean, they got, I mean, Lively and Filipowski. Filipowski, those guys are huge in the length of that team. But, you know, it's funny because you talk to, like, our Duke beat writer here, Brendan Marks. He's like, you know, don't be surprised. Like, Oral Roberts could beat Duke, you know? We could seriously be talking Oral Roberts, Louisiana here Saturday.
That'd be something.
That would be something. Actually, I would be, you know, the TV folks would probably try to put that on at 8 a.m. on Saturday. So I'd be in favor of that. But no, the Vols should soak all of this in. Soak it up, man. Soak it up. This is 100%, a total 180 from last year when we're all talking Final Four. This is the team, first Final Four in program history. Just overcome, you know, the Rick Barnes history and all that stuff. This, now it's like, yeah, Raging Cajuns might get them. Listen to it. No, you're definitely not getting past Duke. If you get past them, just you got to use that to your advantage.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they do that. Like, one thing that's kind of drove me nuts about this Tennessee team all year is it feels like when things start to go the other way on them, we've seen them kind of fall apart sometimes. And that was even with Ziegler in the lineup offensively. And they go through these lulls where, you know, 5 and 6, sometimes 7 minutes go off the clock and they've got 2 points that they've scored in the last 5 minutes. And anytime you get into tournament play, that makes me really nervous about that. And quite frankly, I think I would have been nervous about that even if Ziegler was still in there. And now you put that he's not in there, and it multiplies that even more. The thing I keep going back to is I just think defensively they're still really good, even without Ziegler. And I think that's going to give them a chance. I think to your point, you know, if teams have some big guys they want to go to, be that a Duke or be that whoever, like Tennessee has multiple bodies that they can throw at them. So, look, I would say – just my thoughts on it. I think the ceiling for this group is probably a Sweet 16. That's probably what the ceiling is, but not a whole lot of people expecting them to get there. Now, I will say this. I expected Louisiana to be like the sexy pick to upset Tennessee from a lot of people. And look, I've seen some of it. I've seen some people that have picked Louisiana to win this game. It has not been as many people as I anticipated that it would be on Monday.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you know, the first reaction to this bracket, of course, is on the CBS show. So Seth, basically, is the first analyst who really starts reacting to these things. And Seth Davis, and he immediately went to Louisiana. And I was like, oh, here we go. Yep. We're going to get a whole bunch of this. And like I said the other day, I don't care if it's Kent State or any other 13. I think it would have been like, ah, because the balls just look ripe to be bounced early. But you're right. I feel like most of what I've seen is like Tennessee, Duke advancing. But that's still, you know, that's still a level of disrespect. Now, listen, I disagree with you. I don't think their ceiling is the Sweet 16. Like, if they get through this weekend, first of all, that means that they will have found some things, right? I mean, sure. They play a lot of good basketball and they'll have momentum. See, the thing is, I think that Tennessee, matchup-wise, might be as challenging for Purdue as anyone. I've watched a lot of Purdue this year. I picked Purdue to win it all. So, like, my bracket, I do have Duke beating Tennessee, and I have Purdue beating Duke. Now, Duke is another one of these teams with the length I just mentioned. Both of those teams, if you're looking at Purdue's path, like you watch them this year, Zach Edey, 7'4". Anybody who hasn't watched, he's like 7'4", 320.
It's huge.
But, you know, and he's become this incredible player. He's the best player in the sport. And most teams just don't, like, even if they have one big guy who can kind of, you know, deal with him a little bit, then he gets fouled out. I mean, Tennessee has the guys to throw at him. And, of course, Purdue, the big problem with them down the stretch, they have these freshman guards who have been really good this year but are starting to look more like freshman guards. If Tennessee gets past this weekend, Tennessee's ceiling is the Final Four. I believe that. It's hard for me to buy this team winning at all. Without a true point guard. And I think that's probably what's going to get them well before that. But the ceiling, I still think is high. You know, it's just can they actually avoid those lulls you're talking about? You know, can they actually play smarter than it seems like when they start to make a dumb mistake, like a bad turnover, all of a sudden there's two more that come. And it happened in the Missouri game where it's like, no, you just force that entry pass. Or you just telegraph that pass, and now you just did it again. Can they get out of that? I mean, look, it's very fair to doubt that. But, man, they've got still the pieces to do damage.
I got Memphis taking down Purdue in round 2. What do you think of that one?
Well, listen, Memphis is dangerous. There's no way if you're Purdue, that you looked at this bracket and were thrilled about it. Like I said, I picked them, but their path is tough. And yeah, I think I've seen other people who picked that. I think it's possible. Memphis last year was probably a little bit more equipped to play in that matchup. Everybody remembers they gave Gonzaga everything they wanted.
Oh, yeah.
They're better inside. But I mean, Kendrick Davis, DeAndre Williams are tremendous players. So hot day from outside, sure, that could happen.
What did you make of Vanderbilt last night? Opening round of the NIT, they take down Yale 71-62, the final last night.
Just another example of Tyron Lawrence, and how good he is, and just what they could have if he, at this point, he's a junior. You would think he'd be coming back. But Ezra Magnon has 18. Tyron Lawrence has a career high 25. It's 11-0, and then really Yale did a great. I mean, it was a kind of bordering on a blowout, and about 16, 17-point lead. And to Yale's credit, they got it down to like four late. I mean, they really battled, but Vanderbilt, Lawrence gets into the lane. He's so good at avoiding charges, slipping by defenders, and then finishing with both hands around the rim. He's becoming a special player. So great for them to get another win. Looked like, there's some students there. I think it's spring break, right? But the students were, I think it's spring break for
I
Vanderbilt.
think so.
Some students were there. And Vanderbilt, Michigan this weekend. I mean, that's the thing about the NIT is like the second round. It's like, on the weekend when you have the men's and women's NCAA tournament going on.
Right.
It's not ideal, but I'll be interested to see when that is. And I mean, I'm in on that game, man. I mean, that's a fun game. The two seed and the three seed and that on that side of the bracket.
Yeah, looking forward to that coming up this weekend as Vanderbilt takes on Michigan. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We'll do that coming up next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
I do because, of course, folks, what time of year it is, right? Yes, it is March, and it is a great time to get involved on FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel, of course, talking about, like, for me, very important because it's easy to use, it's safe, it's secure, you get paid fast, it's good any time of year, but I think it's especially good this time of year with the NCAA tournament going on because you can get a no sweat bet on FanDuel, whether you are joining up now or whether you have an account already. If you sign in, you can claim it today. If you're new, you go to FanDuel.com/Joe102 to get in on it. With the no sweat bet, you can bet whatever you want. You can bet a money line. You can bet point spreads. I'm going to continue to push. I mean, I'm saying it too much, so it's probably not going to happen. Kent State over Indiana, Sincere Carry. I cannot say Sincere Carry enough. Okay, watch Sincere Carry play. Whatever you choose, again, safe, secure, easy to use. No better place to bet the tournament than FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel.com, Joe102, or sign in right now. No sweat bet today. Make every moment more with FanDuel. And you must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First time bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Max bonus bet $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. And if you have a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line 800-889-9789.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious, I'm victorious. It's so stupid. It's a terrible song.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. David Jane's coming in strong today with the music coming back from break. Joe, still my favorite. It's hard to beat.
Okay, so I still – okay, so we had that longer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And now it got cut down. I still think we should include the part where Robbie's like, clip that up.
Yep.
I'd agree. I'd agree.
I thought that made it funny.
Michelle cut
anyway,
too much.
Not to nitpick, but I also would never like to hear it again, and I know that that'll never happen, so I may as well just embrace it. So today I want to talk a little bit about Ole Miss hoops today.
Okay.
Let's go with hoops. You know, I have no idea, you know, exactly what happened with Chris Beard, but I do know there was a 911 call, and there are details in the police report that for people who don't know, Chris Beard, you know, was let go at Texas this year, with allegations initially, you know, domestic assault, strangulation. I mean, it's, you know, the initial details are very troubling. Again, I don't know what happened, won't, and understand that, you know, he wasn't charged, but for Ole Miss to just instantly hire him, you know, it's not even like, I mean, it basically what we've figured out here, and I know this is not breaking news, but it's like Art Briles, he's still untouchable, but basically just about anybody else, if you feel like someone's a winner, you know, they're going to get a job. And the thing from Ole Miss's perspective is, I mean, Chris Beard is a very good basketball coach. If Chris Beard does well, is he gonna be at Ole? I mean, is he gonna be at Ole Miss long term?
Probably not.
You know, so you may get better players, better teams. You may have a short term bump in performance, and so I suppose you could say, you know, that sets you up for the next coach. But what about, you know, trying to find a coach who would actually, and I understand someone at Ole Miss would say, okay, great, bring in a young coach. And if they do well here, well, then you still would be a threat of, you know, someone hiring away. Yeah, but at least you didn't bring in someone who is potentially an abuser of women to be your head coach. Who, again, is you opened the door to this, is not going to be there long. It's just there's a lot of ickiness really around the whole SEC. I mean, we got Hugh Freeze back in this league, and different kinds of things. I mean, I understand like Will Wade got a job in East State. That to me, though, like, you know, just stupidly talking on the phone about paying players. Frankly, I don't really care about that. But stuff like this, Hugh Freeze and now Chris Beard, and, you know, even like Nate Oates and how he has handled the situation in Alabama.
Yep.
Man, this league right now, just there's a bit of a pall over this league. And I don't get it. I just don't understand why, if you're Ole Miss, you feel like this is the move. It just, you know, because like there's always gonna be a question. You know what? Again, separate the situation with him and his fiance. You're also in any situation like this, what are you saying to, you know, women who are victims of abuse? I mean, you're saying what, again, I understand is reality, not breaking news. It's win at all costs, and that's what it is.
Well, maybe,
but it's still bothersome, and so I wanted to talk about it.
Well, he was introduced, Chris Beard was, yesterday in Oxford as the new head coach, and obviously, this situation was brought up several times in the press conference yesterday, and he basically just didn't get into it. I mean, the first time he was asked, the quote was, "Respectfully, my fiance and I have agreed not to talk about the details of what happened, not only that night, but in the nights we went through during this process. But what I can tell you is that much of what is being reported is not accurate, and that has been proven with the case being dismissed and the charges being dropped." And also Randy's statement on December 23rd. I think that statement speaks for himself. He was asked, you know, a couple different versions of that question as the press conference went on, and basically kind of gave the same answer there. So it's pretty clear he's not going to talk about anything that has really happened that night, and is trying to push it under the rug. But I mean, this is always going to be something that follows him when he's at Ole Miss.
Yeah, and I bet you on the text line right now there's someone saying no charges or innocent, and that's fine. I don't know. You don't know either. We don't know. There's some serious concerns with the 9/11 call about what happened on that night, okay? The bottom line is there's a question, and that's what I'm saying. It's like You know, we don't know, and whether we won't. But again, this is also like you're talking about what you are saying to people who we know are victims of this. And sports, you know, just lets you down so often in situations like this. And again, I think he's going to win. I think he's going to do well. I think he's a great coach. And then he's going to leave. And then you get to start all over again.
Eric from Nashville on the text line says, suddenly Deacon Rick Barnes doesn't look so bad, huh? This is from Eric from Nashville on the text line.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, whenever Rick Barnes hangs it up, and who knows, maybe he'll never make this long run. And I know Tennessee fans are increasingly dissatisfied with that. And I get it, but man, there's no doubt when it comes to, and this is one of those things where it's like, do you really know? You always got to be careful. Like, do you really know these people? Right.
Right.
I feel pretty good about saying that Rick Barnes on the human being scale relative to, well, I mean, like really like relative to like any group of people, but college coaches, basketball coaches, you know, sports coaches, whatever, that guy is, you should be proud as a Tennessee fan that he is your coach. Cause I think it does matter to have good people. Right. I mean, don't fans feel better about that? They don't feel great. Like if Bruce Pearl beats Rick Barnes and they wish they had Bruce Pearl, there are reasons that you should be really happy you have Rick Barnes instead of Bruce Pearl.
Are Tennessee fans still upset that Rick Barnes went and shook Jerry Stackhouse's hand after the Vanderbilt game? They gotten over that yet?
Went and hugged him.
Went and hugged him too, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of affection.
Yeah, I know. It's like people, angry about that. But I don't want to start a fight with Vol Twitter. I've already,
I'm trying to get you to do it.
Try to get Hottie Toddy all mad. So we'll leave Vol Twitter alone until they lose to Louisiana.
Jeez. Could happen. Coming up tomorrow. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Make sure you join us at 102.5 The Game live from the Rusty Nail this Friday for the second day of the opening round of the tournament. Enjoy $3 two-lane beer drafts while watching some hoops during a St. Patrick's Day celebration. The Rusty Nail is located in Hermitage and provides a great local atmosphere with a large outdoor patio and volleyball courts, plus great drinks and great food, especially the wings. That's 102.5 The Game, live at the Rusty Nail at 4054 Andrew Jackson Way in Hermitage. Coming up this Friday, the doors open at 10 a.m. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the moves that they've made to this point in free agency. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.